pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts and union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequence of a shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I would like to call today's adjourned September meeting for October 15th, 2019 at 9 a.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sessage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
She will not be here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum?
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Sessage. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Now, today we have several special recognitions that we would like special people we'd like to recognize. And immediately following the special recognition, we will take a recess. And there will be refreshments upstairs on the third floor. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do Forest Preserve. And then we'll finish up with the rest of the county business. We will have an executive session today for union discussions. So it will be a little bit longer. So the first one up that I'd like to recognize is Frank Carino III. And Frank is a longtime family friend and one of those people, Frank and Angie, I see you out there, Mom. And I've got a few things that I'm going to recognize that he did, but the most important thing that I think he did was coach the Plano Molding baseball team. I remember him telling me, you're one of the fastest guys on the team. If you just hit the ball, you could do really well. And still working on that. But Frank was former city of Plano alderman, police commissioner, Little Rock trustee, clerk, and township supervisor. He was retired from Caterpillar in Montgomery after working for many years. He was married to Angie for 47 years. With two sons, Ben and Adam. Adam was a teammate. I don't remember if Ben was on that team. Was he? He was just Adam was on the team. I have to make sure I recognize that. And then Frank was a longtime honored and respected part of our city of Plano and Kendall County. Did a tremendous amount. You know, the Plano JCs were a huge part of his life as well when they were up and running strong. And he just was somebody that had such an impact on the city of Plano and on our community. And it's just an honor for me to be able to recognize him today. And so I wanted to say thank you. We also have a plaque, Angie, that I'd like to present to you. And it says, thank you, Frank Carino, Police and Fire Commissioner, City of Plano, May of 1994 to April of 2002. Alderman, City of Plano, from May of 2005 to April of 2009. Trustee, Clerk, and Supervisor, Little Rock Township, May 2008 to September 2019. An appreciation for 23 years of leadership and dedication to the citizens of Little Rock Township, the City of Plano, and the County of Kendall, Illinois, presented on October 15th, 2019 by the Kendall County Board. So, Angie, can I get you? And actually, I should ask, did you want to say anything? Did you want to say anything? Oh, never mind. Yeah.
If I may, I have a story.
Of course.
About you. Oh, no. No. You were talking about the baseball team. And it's your typical story. It was the last inning, the last out, and Scott was up to bat. You don't know. We were all pulling for you. And you actually hit a home run.
Picture.
mind for pick?
Over here.
Oh, you got it?
I got it.
All right.
Yeah.
Next up, we'd like to recognize Ken Pickerel and turn over to Matt Kellogg.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to read a little paragraph about Ken. This only skims the top. It has a lot of the sports things and accomplishments he had. I guess the last paragraph is the most important, so let me start. Ken Lee Pickerel, December 14th, 1927 to September 12th, 2019. The ultimate Panther and Oswego High School legend passed away on Thursday, September 12th at the age of 91. Coach Pickerel was part of Oswego High School in the community for over 60 years, serving one as athletic director and football coach from 1954 to 1969 with four unbeaten seasons and earning five Illinois State football championships. As head wrestling coach for 11 years with eight all-state wrestlers and three state championships. As the school's baseball coach for 9 years with one regional and one district championship. Pickerel was inducted into the Illinois School Baseball, Football, and Wrestling Coaches Hall of Fame and was recognized by the Illinois State Board of Education as an Illinois Merit Winner in 1998. But success on the field was just part of an enormous contribution Pickerel made to the Oswego community. From the founding of the Oswego Cats semi-pro baseball team, founded by Pick in the 1980s, to attending athletic and community events well after he retired, the man was selfless, dedicated, and a true go-getter who got things done, who poured his heart into everything and was more concerned about others than himself. Coach Pickerel will be missed dearly and will be remembered most for touching thousands of lives throughout the Oswego community and many, many generations of athletes at Oswego High School. And with that, we have a plaque that says, "Thank you, Ken Pickerel, the ultimate Panther and Oswego High School legend. In appreciation of 60 years of leadership, mentoring, coaching, and dedication to Oswego High School athletic programs and many generations of athletes, the Village of Oswego and the County of Kendall," and then has dates. But the most important part is that the selfless, dedicated, true go-getter. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the memorial at the high school the Sunday after his passing, and there were only 250 people or so there because it was raining really hard, and it was Sunday night at 7 p.m., but it was really neat to be there and listen to all the coaches and family members and people that Coach Pickerel had touched their lives or made huge changes. It was fun to just see random people kind of sneak in, sit down, and just nod, and you know, they were there by themselves, but he meant so much to them that they took time out of their lives to get there that night. I don't know what else you can say about the man. The living legend part was so true. The few employees we have at the farm, we're sitting there, and we have a 22-year-old who comes in to work about 6 months ago, and he's like, "Oh, my gosh, you know who I saw?" And I'm like, I don't know. "Who did you see?" He's like, "Well, I was at Home Depot, and Ken Pickerel was there." And I'm like, "Okay, you're 22, I'm 40-something, and my dad's 70-something. He coached my dad, and my dad remembers him and would see him out and mention him. And I did, and then this young man who's 22 years old, and coach isn't coaching, but he knows him, and everybody in town knew him. And it was kind of amazing to know that, you know, 55 years of age difference of us sitting at the table, we had something to talk about and compare stories about things he'd done and kids that he'd knocked down at practice because he was tougher than all of us. So that was a common thread at the memorial was, you know, when he was coaching me, he was probably mid-50s, mid or low-60s, and lined up against one of the toughest guys on the whole team. The kid was in full pads, and Coach Pick knocked him on his butt and just told him to get up and quit being such a something or other. Let other people talk, because I know some people talking in Forest Preserve last time, but if others want to join in.
I don't know, Eric, did you want to say any more?
No, I think Matt said it. I think the comments from before are appropriate. The man is just a living legend, and I thought about calling him the other day, and I forgot, you know, kind of forget that he's not there, and it was tough. You know, same thing, he coached my dad, coached me. He helped coach my son with his swing, even though he didn't go to Oswego. He was always able to help and willing to help anybody, and he will be sorely missed.
Yeah, one thing at the memorial, I got kind of nervous, honestly. started to think about our responsibility with the Pickerel House and the Forest Preserve, and all those people in that room are going to look to it and how do we not screw this up? I mean, it's more than just a forest preserve. It's a memorial to a person that meant everything to the whole community. So, yeah, I got a little nervous about thinking about what we're doing the next couple of years or with that property and make sure we do it the right way. So,
along those lines, is Todd Miller, are you here? Did you want to say anything about Pink? Or?
No, I just want to echo the...
You're the director of the Oswego Cats baseball.
Echo the sentiment of Matt, is it?
Yeah.
He was a multi-generational human being. He, your father, you're the 22-year-old. The story just repeats itself continually. He was such a helper. He was such an influence in the community. Those of you that don't know, Ken and Jackie, they had no children. Everyone in this room were their children, so that's what they dedicated their lives to. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'd like to present this plaque to the Oswego Cats as well, and then we're also going to have one of these for the Forest Preserve as well, and to hang out at the Pickerel House. All right. Next, I'd like to recognize Dave Stewart, and I'm proud to have got to know Dave a little bit as well through the our friends down at the Goat's Nest, as they would like to call it. And recognize Dave was married to Diane for 52 years until she passed on December 11, 2014. Dave farmed in Yorkville his entire life and was an elder at Al Sable Grove Presbyterian Church in Yorkville. He was also a graduate of Yorkville High School. Dave served as the president and trustee of the Bristol Kendall Volunteer Fire Department from May 1st, 2008 until this month. On the board and as president of the Grainco Farm Subsidy, and is a former board member of the Old Second Bank in Yorkville. Dave is well known throughout Kendall County as the man with a big heart and an even bigger smile. Dave will be missed by his morning coffee buddies, including former chairman John Shaw, who is back there, his family and his friends. Dave's daughter, Heather, is also a current Kendall County employee in the assessment office. I believe, Jack, you're serving on the Merit Commission. Kendall County Merit Commission as well, and Todd and Cindy, are you? Todd and Cindy as well, son Todd Stewart. So wanted to also present a plaque to you. Thank you, David L. Stewart, Bristol Kendall Fire Protection District President and Trustee, May 2008 to September 2019, Kendall County Farmland Protection Commission Commissioner, December 2016, September 2019, Kendall Grundy Grainco FS Inc. President and Board Member, February 1976 to December 2011. An appreciation for 43 years of leadership, service, and dedication to the citizens of Kendall County, presented this October 15th, 2019. And with that, I don't know if, does anyone want to say anything? Chief, I put you on the spot earlier. Do you want to say anything about about Dave?
Thank you for honoring Mr. Stewart. Everything that you said about him is accurate. He was a fantastic man. I got to know him in the chief's position for only a little bit over a year. One of the last things that Dave Stewart did for us was approve the purchase of our new engine. And when he was in the hospital earlier in the month before he passed, actually I called him up and I said, I hope you don't mind, but we need to get these loan papers signed. Do you mind if I come over and get them signed? Absolutely. So I got a chance to get over there. He signed the papers and we talked for probably about 45 minutes or an hour. He deeply, deeply, deeply cared about the fire district, and he even more cared about the firefighters, the men and women that protect this area in the district. So thank you very much for letting us have him for 17 years. We really appreciate it. He was a great guy. So thank you very much.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yeah. I, I guess I'm getting tired of doing these. There's so many people that passed away in the last couple of years that it's a little bit tough. On behalf of the farming community, of course, I'd like to thank the family and really appreciate Dave's leadership. He was that kind of quiet leadership. You sit behind you in church, and just when something came up, you just lean forward and we'll take care of it. And I think the time it hit me was at the heifer hay day. He wasn't there to do the hay ride. He always took care of the hay ride and pulling the kids and having fun just getting the kids on there and doing it. But looking out for the kids at that was where I'd see him the most, and smiling and having a good time and getting the kids up there and going for a ride. So on behalf of the ag community, he's truly missed. So.
Yeah, I agree with you that always had a big smile on his face whenever you'd see him. So with that, I'd like to, if I could have the family come up, and I'd love to give this to you. And you're welcome to say something too if you'd like.
Take about 10 minutes, and we'll head upstairs. Please come up to the third floor. We have some refreshments, and thanks to Valerie for putting this all together. And I think she already is back upstairs, but she takes, I give her full credit for bringing this together.
We are back in session for the adjourned September meeting on Tuesday, October 15th, at approximately 9:45 a.m. Next up, public comment. Record shows no one. Public hearing. I'd like to open a public hearing for petition 19-33, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for an amendment to section 104 of the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance by changing the definition of Bulletin 70 from the 1989 version of Bulletin 70 to the 2019 version of Bulletin 70. Is there anyone who'd like to testify during this public hearing? I am closing this public hearing. Consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. The consent agenda consists of approval of the county board minutes from September 17, 2019, standing committee minutes approval of claims in an amount not to exceed $1,618,242.03, petition 19-33, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for an amendment to section 104 of the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance by changing the definition of Bulletin 70 from the 1989 version of Bulletin 70 to the 2019 version of Bulletin 70. Approval of the 2020 Comprehensive Noxious Weed Work Plan. Approval to release minutes of the October 7th, 2019 Planning, Building, and Zoning Executive Session. There's a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Old business. May I have a motion to approve the resolution requesting the state's attorney execute a modified agreement with City of Plano, Illinois, Lakewood Springs Special Service Area 5, Delinquent Tax Parcels, LLC, for the settlement of delinquent real estate taxes, interest, and costs for the 200 lots located within Lakewood Springs. Motion by Sesich.
Second.
Seconded by Vickers. Eric, do you want
to talk? Dan Kramer brought this to our attention. Originally, the agreement was for 214 lots. There are 14 lots in a separate area. They're going to pay those directly. They're going to already talk to Jill. They're just going to take care of those. This just drops it down to 200, same percentage, same numbers. For the 200 lots, we're just taking those 14 out and separating them for purposes of ease. I think it makes, I don't want to speak for Jill, but it makes Jill's life a little bit easier when we take those 14 out, that they're going to pay those directly. And then it's the same agreement. We have the court date up tomorrow to enter the agreement. So we just moved from today to tomorrow. Great. Questions, same terms. We just wanted to make sure it was clear.
Anybody from the treasurer? No. Scott, anything else to add? Sorry to get you in.
Nope, just an update to get it right. So.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks? I mean, she's not here. Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve existing vehicle maintenance contract extension to run from December 1, 2019 through November 30th, 2021 with Jovic Ford, Inc. Motion by Sessage, seconded by Giles. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you very much. New business, approval of ordinance to amend Kendall County Ordinance 86-6, Kendall County Raffle Ordinance, last amended August 5th, 2014.
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sessage. Scott?
It's on page 135 of your packet, and Debbie does the majority work with the raffle ordinance, so if you have any questions, I'm sure she can.
Anything you want to add, Debbie?
Just some changes in the law that we needed to... why we needed to update that. Raffle licenses, when issued, used to have to be sold. The tickets had to be sold within the county. Now they can be sold anywhere within the state. We did try to adjust the license for, like, if the American Legion were to have one of those Queen of Heart raffles, so that the raffle is actually good for 365 days. So that is in this new ordinance. It was a while ago when we did this. Leslie, do you remember any of the other changes that we made?
Those cover pretty much the basics of what we've talked about.
Great. May I have a roll call?
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Elected officials report and other department reports. Sheriff. Morning.
Morning. Thank you. Real quick, a couple updates in the jail. We're having our one of our programs we started about 8 weeks ago called the Second Chance Program for inmates. Their graduation is tomorrow. Wabansi had their first class last week, and 18 inmates attended the first class. So, and it seems that once they hear about it, the other inmates, then it tends to grow. But we do have a cap size at 20 for the class size there. Also, I know you guys approved this a while ago, but the marshals got the contract back to us. So effective October 1st, the county will receive $80 a day per inmate.
Correct.
So, and then I could answer any questions you may have.
Chicago?
No.
You're looking.
How much is it costing?
Yeah.
No. How much is it for the inmates?
Yeah.
We're on track very well this year, and hopefully next year will be as well.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
County Clerk and Recorder.
My revenue report is in the packet, and if anybody has any questions.
Anything unusual that you're looking at for the end of the year coming up as far as your revenue report? No.
Mortgage rates are down, right?
So yeah.
Hopefully we'll see more recordings.
Good deal. Treasurer. Bob?
Morning.
Morning.
Jill's report is in the packet, so I don't know if anybody had any questions.
How are we, looking for the end of the year?
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Good. Any questions for Bob? All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Clerk of the Court, State's Attorney.
Just briefly, I want to thank those that came out on Thursday for the Kendall County Domestic Violence Response Team. Appreciate the support from those that were there, especially from Robin working on the committee to do that. So hopefully we'll be kicking it off in January. Other than that, things are going along. So unless there's any questions.
Questions for Eric? Thank you. Coroner, Jackie Purcell.
So I apologize, my report is on my phone at this moment. So in the month of September, we had 35 total deaths. 30 of those were natural. We had one accidental death, two deaths that are pending, one of which has come back already as an overdose. The other one is still pending. one suicidal death, one homicidal death, five cases where we did toxicology, five cases where we did autopsies, and authorized 14 cremations. I facilitated the Lights of Hope meeting again, which we do the first Wednesday of every month. Chief Deputy Coroner Gotti, he presented at the Illinois Parks Law Enforcement Association annual conference. I attended the Gift of Hope training and luncheon in Kankakee. I presented to the science careers class at Oswego High School, and we had a total of 7 hours of community service that were completed in our office. So.
All right. Any questions for Jackie? Thank you.
Thank you.
Health Department. Amal? While you're walking up, I'll mention that we had a wonderful tour, as wonderful as it can be, of the transfer station in Plano. Was that at the end of September, or is it? I've already forgotten.
It was in October.
It was in October. Mm-hmm. Time flies when you're having fun. It was really interesting to see it. We saw it after hours, so we didn't get the full scope of it, but I think it was probably better that way because they run a lot through there, and really an interesting operation, so thanks to mm-hmm. whoever put that together. And it was through the Solid Waste Committee, and it was very good. So.
Good pictures from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Topharis?
I'm just going to mention that our last Solid Waste Committee meeting is going to be on November the 20th from 5 to 7 at the Health Department, so all are welcome to attend. This is a meeting where the Solid Waste Committee will be voting finally on the Solid Waste Plan, and that is getting ready to go to Board of Health, and after that, after the committee votes on it, it will come to the County Board as well for hearing and then eventually for vote as well. That's all. Thank you.
All right. There is a need for executive session. Yeah, we forgot to push that. Can we push that?
You can just move it to the end. We'll skip over
it. All right. We'll skip over that and bring it to the end.
Yeah. There'll be no action afterwards. It's just discussion.
Okay. Standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning. Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make motion for an approval of petition 1932, a request from John and Aaron Sharkey and Theodore Parks to relocate a 10-foot public utility and drainage easement from the northern boundary line of lots 1 and 4 of Pine Grove Subdivision to the northern property lines of parcels 09072000034 and 09072000033 and extend a public utility and drainage easement along the eastern side of parcel 09072000033 in Seward Township.
Second. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmer?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for an approval of a part-time code enforcement officer job description.
Motion made by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Gilmore. Mr. Keppel.
On page 152 in your packet, starts with Matt's memo, and then we also have a memo from Mira, that goes over this. We created this job description in part from Brian Holdeman's job description, which is the next item on your agenda, and it is to offer some support, additional code enforcement in the county now that we've made changes to inoperable vehicles and junk and debris ordinances. There seems to be more code enforcement going on, and we wanted to make sure we could supplement that appropriately and be out there investigating and doing follow-ups as much as possible. It'll be a new position. It's in budget for next year. We hope to get rolling on applications and everything soon after the job description is approved.
Questions? Ms. Sessage?
Sorry?
The salary for it?
Right now we're looking at about $18 an hour.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All eyes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for approval of the PCZ official job description.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. Scott?
This is Brian Holdeman's job description for the code official. We got a legal review done back before I was the administrator as one of those things on the back burner. Now that we've got Mira here, we were able to push it to the forefront and work on this in conjunction with the code enforcement one. I feel bad for Brian not having a job description, but now that we finally have it done, I feel
you
much better.
You know what
he's
supposed to do? Yeah. For 20 years? I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, roll call.
Mr. Petryaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes, motion carries. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Petryaska?
No.
Admin, Human Resources, Revenue, GIS. Judy?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion for approval of GIS mapping, recorded document policy.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sessage. Scott?
So the memo is on page 162 of your packet. We've had some issues, and Megan will be happy to answer questions about it, but with review of the legal descriptions that are part of recorded documents and then also requests for information about those ahead of time, the GIS staff is very qualified and good at mapping those legal descriptions, but they are not attorneys or surveyors, so they're limited into how they can, adequately tell people when there's issues or when what would be wrong with it. So we wanted to draft a policy because there's been some discussion back and forth, and this was drafted from a legal opinion from the state's attorney's office is where we got the information backing it up.
Ms. Gillette?
This directly impacts the recorder's office. We are not required by statute to do legal descriptions, but we have a lot of our citizens that have questions regarding their legal description. So now we've been sending them to the mapping department because we don't do legal descriptions. We just check for certain things by statute, grantor, grantee, address, whatnot. So now we are to tell our citizens, title companies, whatever, that are recording to get a survey done.
When they record it, we will happily. This mostly has to do with when we get the recording, when we get it in after it's been recorded and we need to go update the map. It just dictates how we do that, and if we find an error, sometimes it's like they're not all, it's not a square on a split and it's open, that what we can tell them, how it's incorrect and what they can do to, that they need to go get it fixed, because we can't, the issues that we run into if we say, if you move that up a little bit, it's fine, because that might not actually be what happened with the land sale. So we don't want to, we're afraid, and this is what we've been doing in practice, we're afraid to give information that is to make us be attorneys or surveyors.
Okay, that just puts the recorder's office in a position where we can't actually help them, so we're asking them for a fee that also goes for a GIS that we have nobody in the county that can help them with a legal description. Is where I'm coming from. So we have to tell them to go to a surveyor and pay a surveyor money to help them with their legal description, or will you help them a little bit? Because we have people come in that are going to have issues. So I need to know what to tell the staff when it comes to a legal description. And if someone needs help with a legal description, do we have to send them away? Can we send them to mapping?
So I don't want to get too far into the legal end of it, what we do and can't do, because we're not surveyors and we're not attorneys. I don't know if Leslie can wait. I hate to put you on the spot, but when we work through this, we've got the four things that we'll do that the staff will do in the GIS office when a document's been recorded to try to find errors in it. But really, if we're reviewing legal descriptions that aren't part of a recorded document or reviewing them as for people that bring in documents, our concern was that we don't want to be seen as providing advice as an attorney or advice as a surveyor, because we're not licensed to do either of those things in the GIS office. So that it was just saying exactly what we can help on with the documents once they've been recorded. And we're not trying to, put citizens out or cause any problems for anybody, but we also can't be acting as attorneys when we're not attorneys. That's the big concern.
Is this something we should discuss more, do you think?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Prochaska?
I'd like to make a motion to refer to the next cow.
Okay. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We'll have more discussion on this just to make sure that your concerns are addressed as well. Yeah. Yeah. All in favor signify by saying aye. All right, next up, Judy.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for approval of Blue Cross Blue Shield 2020 Health Insurance Plan.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sesich. Discussion?
Quite a bit of information in your packet starting on 165.
Scott?
So we got the health insurance, the renewals, got the other coverages coming up after this. Blue Cross came back with a very competitive quote, and we also got an additional 1% discount on our health insurance because the committee opted to recommend the life and optional life from Dearborn, which is now owned by Blue Cross Blue Shield, so that was an additional savings of around $40,000. So very competitive quote, and everybody seems to be happier from everything I've been told with Blue Cross over United Healthcare. So it's good all around.
Mr. Prochaska?
One other thing is the admin committee also recommended increasing the basic life insurance that we give to all employees from $10,000 to $25,000 per employee.
Great. Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Next, I'd like to make a motion for approval of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Dearborn 2020 Vision and Voluntary Life Insurance Plan.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sesich. Scott?
Okay. This is the life insurance part of the piece. It's that Dearborn, they came in a very competitive price, and they we upped it, like Mayor Prochaska just said, and this also allowed us to get a 1% discount on the health insurance.
Great. Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, next I'd like to make a motion to approve the IMED 2020 Vision Plan.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sesich. Scott?
We're in a multi-year agreement with IMED. I've not had any complaints about the IMED plan, and it is a 0% increase.
Great. We'll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, next, I'd like to make a motion to approve MetLife 2020 Dental Insurance Plan.
Second. Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sesich. Mr.
We're in a multi-year plan with them as well, and MetLife has been good. We didn't want to have too much disruption on the employees, so the committee decided to stick with MetLife with their 0% increase in the multi-year agreement that we have.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Next
to the back side of your agenda now. Yeah,
there's one more. I'd like to make a motion to approve the 2018 MLR premium rebate check refund 75/25 county employee split.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Sesich. Scott?
Yeah, Bob can explain how this works. We've had one of these before, and last time around we did a 75/25 split employer-employee. This a check from United Healthcare.
Yeah, with United Healthcare, it seems that they issue these a lot. Talking to Beth from Horton, Blue Cross Blue Shield, we won't have to deal with this. It's due that they can only spend so much money on marketing, and when they spend more than what they're supposed to, they have to refund back to the policy holders. So our refund was at $26,000. Last year, I think it was like $34,000 that we got, and the board had voted to split because basically the county pays 75% of the premiums and the employees pay 25%. So if you wanted to do the same thing with this check.
Makes sense. Great. Roll call. Thanks, Bob.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries. All ayes. Economic Development Committee, may I have a motion to approve? What are we looking for an approval? Just a discussion. Scott, do you want to lead that?
Okay, so I was still working on this, didn't get it to Debbie in time. It is on your desk. It's two, it printed a little bit weird, so there's two different things stapled together on your desk about the revolving loan fund recapture strategy. The committee wanted to discuss a cow. We didn't have cow, so it came here. This is the version that was passed in 2017 with some updates to the recapture strategy, and I just, some of the updates that I did throw out were updating some of the dates to go back and readopt this, if that's the recommendation from the committee, what the board wants to do. So going through this one, some of the key changes are the fact that there would be different loans be able to go to municipalities inside the county, and then also loans that would go to private businesses, which is how we currently have, and then finally there would be inter-fund loans. On page 5 of the second packet, it's actually page 5 down on the bottom, not of the actual packet, but numbered 5, that'd be the revolving fund guidelines. That's what the major difference is between our current practices and the old 2006 revolving loan recapture strategy and the new one. Private businesses are similar to what they were before, although the number is got a cap now of $100,000 per loan, 3 to 7 years, and then there's some information about private businesses and between the federal prime rate, looking at what those numbers are to determine. Ultimately, though, the county board can decide all the rules with these as you go. A new one would be the municipal loans, which is outlined as item B on page 6. One of the things that was in here previously that we have some comments on, and I had a couple questions related to this, that there was, up until June of 2019, there was very specific amounts that could be loaned to municipalities depending on population and all that. I think there's a listing on the back page of how that was broken out. It's a little bit easier to read. And that was done by population in the very beginning, but since that date has passed, I've in this draft removed that section because it said that it would be, as of January 1st, 2019, a loan of $750,000 maximum to any one municipality. You can easily add that back in, but again, I was just trying to go through and update dates and times, and since it would be not needed because of that date has already come to pass. Another note I wanted to make was that about one line, V, or 5V, was a borrower must place the approved municipal loan into their own municipal revolving loan fund.
What number are you on, Scott?
I'm sorry, page 7, V. And the comment I had about that was, if somebody doesn't have a municipal loan fund, one of the smaller municipalities perhaps, or also if the loan was to a municipality for economic development that would be infrastructure for them, let's say water, sewer type work, if they needed to do some road or infrastructure improvements to allow business to come into the town, that's something that I thought the committee may and the board may want to consider. So I had a question about that. And then below that, there's the mention of the federal prime rate. I just put in the recent rates. September 2018, it was 5.5. September 2019, it was 5.0, which is quite a bit higher than what a lot of loans are going for right now. So I thought that may want to be considered as well. And like I said about the not exceed amount, that would be below that.
Ms. Sesich?
You were saying you take out the not exceed?
But previously there was a paragraph that listed out, depending on the population of citizens in the county per city, per municipality, how much they could get a loan for. But that was to sunset on June 1st of 2019, so I removed it just because that was what was in the previous copy, and I was just trying to update the dates, and also thought that you'd want to consider whether you had that back in or not. Wanted to bring attention to it specifically.
I think that once you have it back in, right? Do not exceed
the amount. Mr. Keller?
I think the do not exceed amount per municipality came in, the chair's not here to comment on exactly 2 years ago what happened, but one municipality was coming in trying to take the whole thing for something that we were really looking for a reason to say no to.
other than the other list of things we wanted to say no about it. But this got created to kind of figure out what a fair distribution by population was. But then now that I look back on it, the population isn't as important as what economic it can bring to the county. So we have some smaller areas that would benefit and would benefit the taxpayer far quicker or more quickly, a little bit more than what this chart says. So I think the chart gave us some insight, but it shouldn't be in the document, I guess.
Yeah, and I think just even more to that point, there were like competing loans from different municipalities, you know, because there was a couple of things that had come in, and so then the question was, well, how do you decide? Is it just first come, first serve? And so I think that's kind of, you know, we're looking for an equitable way to try to distribute that, but then that can also kind of tie our hands if there is a project mm-hmm. that really makes a lot of sense, you know, for us to get involved with. So I agree with you that, you know, so what is your is there a suggestion here, you know, as far as, and Scott, maybe you just hear those comments that, you know, we want to make sure that we're fair and equitable with our, you know, other, like all the municipalities, so that one doesn't just come in and, you know, we send it all out. But
yeah, I like the idea of when there was a lot of people knocking down the door, and there might be again now that this is back up for discussion, that might be happening again. However, I don't know if you want to control, you know, without knowing what's coming, put in a bunch of rules into the ordinance where instead just to look at the as they come in, maybe a moratorium for a couple months to let some apps come in might be a better way to do it, and then, in you know, have the committee review them and come up with a recommendation might be better than just setting hard amounts in there. But I like the looking at them on a case-by-case basis, you know, for the entire county could work out better. You know, a big property taxpayer to help out the, you know, the residents might be a smaller city, but if they get a big warehouse or what have you, logistics center that does bring in a lot of revenue,
yeah.
That might be something worth looking at, even if the population's lower.
Ms. Hessage?
I guess, you know, somebody came in asking for $800, $950 or something like that, and it was not approved, and we approved something that was less, you know, does it give the appearance that they didn't approve me because it was this much? So that's why it's kind of good to have it in medicine, so you're fair across the board. And I don't know that it's, you know, that inappropriate to say $750, $800,000 or something, that would be our max that we've blown out. So I just would caution for the fairness factor as well, because I think when sometimes you see that number and you're like, oh, how do you justify whatever, but if you have a do not exceed, then it's, as you're saying, that's the limit. You might be asking for $850 or whatever, and now you've got to come up with $50,000. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't know that it should be completely removed, but I get the reasons why.
Scott?
So as of now, I had a loan shall not exceed $750,000 in there. What the part that I had moved out was a chart saying each city can only get so much in the first 2 years because of their population.
Okay. Okay. So I think the way you have it then is, I'm seeing nodding heads. Oh, Judy.
I remember when we discussed this, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a year or something. There didn't seem to be any guarantee that we were comfortable with that how a municipality could guarantee to repay that loan. And
that was one of the questions, and I think it would depend on what the loan was for, and then how we could talk to them about guaranteeing it. I know that again, we'd have to get some outside help on a bigger loan that we'll be talking about that a little bit at committee as far as recommendations. And when we write and put the loan documents together, I know that for bonding purposes, which this isn't bonding, but if you can think of it in a similar vein, if it's alternate revenue source, like a let's say an enterprise fund for water, or you know a non, you know they're not waiting to get paid back from somewhere else, but they would be pledging, you know, tax dollars or fee dollars towards it, that those are more, they're more likely to get loans in other mm-hmm. places for something like that, especially like if it's a water one, just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they would have an agreement with the builder that they're going to pay a certain amount of money, you know, towards it as well, if it's an infrastructure improvement. Or if they can pledge TIF funds, too, that could also, and I know that's been controversial, and there's actually still an item in here about TIF specifically, but I know that that's a source where if there's money in the fund, it's, you know, not a guarantee, but they can say we've got a certain amount in there that's going to go towards this as well. So
yeah.
It would depend on where it's coming from and then how we wrote up the agreement. But that is always a concern, getting paid
right,
back.
Because, I mean, if it's something, a private business, they're going to put up some sort of collateral, but what does a city put up? So I would like to see that really ironed out before we go forward with this.
Okay, go ahead. Is there anything else, Scott?
No, just the one that was discussed a lot was an item about that there being an increase in the rate of 1% if it isn't a tip. I know that was very controversial and talked about a lot last time. I just wanted, it's still in there. Just wanted to bring that up about that topic specifically.
Ms. Sessage?
He's able to look at it.
Yeah.
So is that generally best practice to add the 1%, Scott?
This realm is a little... I can't say there's any best practices with this because it's kind of, it's rules were that were developed, and this was because of the letter that we got from DECO about being able to use the money as the county saw fit, and this was developed. There aren't a lot of places to draw on for that. So that's the tough part. This is just what the committee had decided at the time.
Are you recommending that we take it out?
Well, I think that there a TIF is going to often be a place where economic development occurs, and it may be a place where a city would want assistance to get money there, but they also have, you know, additional funds coming in there, and if something new does exist in a TIF, it doesn't have the same impact on tax revenue to the county, so or to maybe some of the fire districts or the schools, so that it's a very political decision, and so that it's got pluses and minuses.
Mr. Kellogg? No,
I'm fine with it in there. We worked through this for committee a year and a half, 2 years ago.
I was just going to say I'm inclined to leave it, but I think
when it comes down to it, the final application, you have the authority to change it if we need to or set the interest rate, so we can case by case. This gives a guideline if you're asking for money from the TIF district, you should have looked at all your other options too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
Scott, what's the next step then?
I believe that from the discussion at committee was to go to committee of the whole, see if there's any changes that wanted to be made, and then take it back to committee before the board would approve the new strategy.
So there's a committee this Friday or next Friday? I think there's one between now and...
Yes, there is
so
one
we'll
before the first November meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, item C would be the interfund loan between different departments or offices. It's got the same limit of the $750,000. It does require a majority vote of the county board to approve. And it's got two different issues that you can have for reasons to have one. One would be an emergency purpose, and the other would be a cash flow purpose. So it's pretty well, to find the needs or the reason to have that one. This is something that has not been done before. Again, it's one of the newer additions of it as well. And shorter term, the thought process on this, if something does come up and money's needed for a big project or an emergency situation, that the fund would be used to fill the gap, not for long-term loans, was the thought process when this was originally developed.
Ms. Sessage.
So I think, when you look at this RLF and the intent of it, I like the idea of this interfund loaning, but it is kind of a stretch, going to that original
intention, but because we've been given the go-ahead to use this in, you know, ways that benefit us, the county as an EDC area, also, you know, to help with, you know, projects and things like that, could you say, you know, if we improve a building or something, does that help in the public and things like that? And you could. So like, so that's why this is so new, the addition is so new, it's because we haven't, you know, really had that in there before. I think because of the way the scope of that loan was limited to certain things. So this is kind of a, an addition and an idea, which I like. But, you know, again, we have to be cognitive of the original intent of that loan.
Mr. Gangler.
Would this apply to, let's say, the Forest Preserve? Would we be able to do that with the Forest Preserve as well, or no?
Mr. Keppel?
No, they're not. So that one, that's, they're a little bit of an interesting fit because they're not a municipality, and they're not a county fund. They're a separate organization. So they, I think they would kind of fall through the cracks the way this is currently written.
So along those lines, like if the park district wanted to, you know, do a trail or something, we wouldn't be able to loan it to them either, the way it's written.
It's municipalities and interfund and then private businesses. So there could be some updates to the municipality one to include units of local government inside Kendall County. If that was the will of the board, we can look at drafting it that way.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to own a forest preserve, the county side of it anyway. That would be interesting. And I don't know what rights they have to do that. I don't know how that works when they borrow money again. I'd have to research that, and I'm going to look into it with cities. They may be able to do different things than forest preserves can do. They're all governed by different rules and regulations when they borrow money, I'm sure.
I don't think you want to own a forest preserve.
So, and then with the interfunds loan, it doesn't work the same either. You know, there's not that typical like collateral. I mean, because you're borrowing through a department per se, you know, or a building project or whatever that may be. So, I think we really have to, you know.
The thought process, on the interfund loan was that if there was an emergency, you'd borrow the money to fix the problem, let's say, catastrophe, and then the county board approves the budget next year, right? So you can put the repayment in the budget. You can't put the repayment in the forest preserves budget. Well, you kind of can, but you understand, like, you can't for, like, a park district or a fire protection district, you can't control their budget and put in the repayment. But yeah, with the county funds, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, Scott?
Yeah.
All right, any other items you need feedback on or comments that we want to make? All right. We'll talk about it then at the next EDC meeting.
Absolutely. And we'll work on getting an answer for Judy Gilmore's question for for that.
Excellent. Finance Committee, Mr. Kellogg.
Make a motion to approve the 2020 GIS
fee increase ordinance. Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Go ahead. Scott?
This is on the last page of your packet. Megan can answer questions you may have about it. It is increasing it to $30. This was the recommended amount from the HR Admin Committee, and I was not at Finance on Thursday, but it was discussed there as well. We did a fee study in-house. It was discussed as to whether or not we had to pay an outside source to do it, and the decision was that it could be done in-house. The HR Admin Committee accepted the fee study that was put together by the GIS department with some projections out into the future, looking at recordings. They peaked in the boom, of course, and then they also peaked again when there were all the foreclosures after the crash, and they have been low. And then looking out into the future, we have been deficit budgeting GIS for a while, and looking to where we'll be going, that would be problematic out into the future. So this, some of the reasons why this recommendation was made.
Megan, do you have anything you want to add? Okay. Debbie?
Again, this directly affects the recorder's office and the fee that we charge. Scott and I had discussed the fee and all that, how it got determined and whatnot. But what I don't see in this ordinance is when this is to be effective. and it's very unclear to me as to where the $30 and the $2 goes. We collect on the recorder's fee for the GIS mapping, we collect $16 right now. So am I to add $30 to the 16? Am I supposed to make it 30 total? Am I adding 14? We have a GIS recorder, which we now collect $2 for. Am I adding $2? This is very unclear. I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure when it's supposed to be effective, and how much the actual fee is going to go up. We set the predictable fee back in the beginning of the year to $53. Am I adding $32? I would just ask that maybe this can get cleaned up a little bit, and this is not something the county clerk is doing or asking for. This is totally GIS. So I want that to be clear that the county clerk is not raising the predictable fee. This is coming through GIS.
So the intent was for it to be effective January 1st, and I apologize okay. that's not in the ordinance, but we can clean that up, and if we need to bring it back to the first meeting in November, we're happy to do that. I apologize.
Mr. Prochaska.
Motion to postpone consideration until the first meeting.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. Discussion on that motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. We'll postpone consideration until November 1st. Thank you. Special committee reports, historic preservation. Scott or Matt? I don't know if Matt's still in here. Scott?
Yeah, so the meeting was canceled. The state is reviewing the historic preservation, Kendall County Historic Preservation Ordinance soon, and we'll be hopefully get the results back and be discussed at the next meeting.
Board of Health, Tony.
Our last meeting was at the Oswego Police Department, so I'd like to thank the Oswego Police Chief for the use of the building and his time there as well. And then the officers that stayed afterwards to give some board members a tour of the facility and explain a little bit more the inner workings of it. So it's very much appreciated. I've already thanked just a snapshot. We were also looking at trying to adjust our board meeting date to coincide better with county board dates, because we always meet on the same evening of our second county board. So the idea was to move it in between the two. That way, if something came up with Board of Health, we could still get it to a committee, still get it to the board for their agenda if needed. But that just wasn't able to happen. So we're just going to keep our same meeting date, which would be fine. We're hoping to be able to flow a little bit better with the, you know, things like facilities and with the county board meetings in Cal. So we thought it was going to work, but it just didn't quite work out for everybody. So that's something we're looking at. So the meeting then is tonight. At our normal location with a TV presentation as well tonight.
Interesting. Which I learned today that we now have 22 cases of TB in Kendall County, up from, I think, 3 when I first got on the board. So when doctor mentioned it earlier, it was due to increased travel, I think. Is that fair? Thank you. Thanks, Tony. Other business. Chairman's report. Is Christy still okay? Scott?
Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
May I have a motion to approve Christy Walker TV Board 2-year term expiring October of 2021. That's what I wondered.
I apologize. Yeah, that's wrong. I was thinking of a different.
Doesn't live in the county yet. Minor technicality. Very qualified, but
yes, very, very qualified.
Has a minor impediment. Yeah, thank you.
Apologize.
Public comment? Questions from the press?
Jim Wyman, WSPY. How much does the county have to loan for municipalities and businesses?
Mr. Keppel?
I believe there's about $1.8 million in the fund currently, with a couple loans still out.
And that money's coming from the state, is that right?
It did years and years and years ago.
Not anymore?
No, no new money has come in since, I think, the 90s.
Okay. Has the Economic Development Corporation active yet? No, right?
No.
Okay. And what's the status of the loan for Lucky's Beef and Dogs? Has that been repaid?
They're still ongoing payments.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, there have been rumors that the Illinois Capital Projects is going to have the Alderman Bridge on it. I wondered if you have heard anything about that and the status of that.
I have heard that they are going to move the, not make it official until veto session, whether or not it is or it is not. So I don't know what the date is on that.
Starts end of October.
End of October. So it sounds like a few more weeks. We were hoping to have it to hear this week one way or the other, but it sounds like it's a few more weeks out. Today was the original date we'd been given, and now it's a couple more weeks.
So you're hearing the same things, that this is something that may be in there.
We are still optimistic that it may be in there for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, executive session. We do have a need for that.
I'm sorry, it started today.
Oh, it did start today. Well, then maybe we...
So maybe that is why.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take a quick break. With 5 minutes or so before executive?
Okay.
She was there. Okay, motion adjourned by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Adjourned.
That was too bad.
It wasn't bad. That was good.
I thought...